Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to Metanorn's mini talk on Aldnoa Zero for episode 4, Point of No Return. I'm J-Ro, joined by Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up?
And Smiley.
Hello.
So, we have Trillram's dead and gone. So,
yay.
That's cool. Where do we go from here? Well, after the Martians drop some more bombs on Earth, we get to see more with Asylum on the vehicle with all the Earthlings as they go to get more mechs and such. And this is when Asylum reveals herself just to Inaho and Rayet, and she explains, as was discussed last week, not magic, but rather cutting-edge technology, optical camouflage and holography. And then she lays it down pretty simply. Tell her grandfather she's alive, war ends. Easy, right? Sure. Seems easy.
I don't know if I believe that. I mean, I can understand that she has to have some sort of sway in being the princess of the Verz Empire, but I feel like at this point it's kind of a little too late to pull out. If they've gone ahead and bombed cities and thrown meteors at them and killed countless people. Say, oh, now we're just gonna say, oh, well, our bad.
Yeah, they can't. Yeah, exactly. They can't just go about that. sorry.
Yeah, there's a naivete there to
the prince. Yeah. And the princess too. She thinks, oh, I'll just show my face and just stop. Like, no.
Yeah. I'm actually curious what stance her grandfather has. Assuming he's actually, I don't know, he might be old and maybe he's just a puppet by now, but it seems like he's probably the kind of guy who retains control himself. Mm-hmm. He's made himself out to be the emperor, I guess, or something. So I wonder if he would even listen to her requests for peace in the first place, or maybe he's just as eager as the other knights to conquer Earth for whatever reason.
Yeah, I'm thinking that. I'm thinking like a Code Geass thing with Lucia's dad wanting to take over the universe. Like, her grandfather could be the same type of character. He just, like,
doesn't really care.
He's
going to be voiced by Norio Wakamoto.
If he was, that'd be great. But...
And then Edel Riccio, during this scene, she kind of gets a little nervous as Asylum is talking because it's almost like, oh, don't spill all the secrets. And then she... So there's that, and then there's also word that there's a spy hidden among the Terrans.
Always a spy. Always.
Yeah.
Can't trust anyone.
Yeah, moles everywhere.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
I wonder if they're all just slightly misinformed, and we as the audience are more informed than they are, or perhaps we are misinformed, because it seems to me that it's just that one faction... Trillram and the guy he works for who are plotting against plotting to invade Earth like this, and to me that seems like that's the only faction that's doing this, and there are no other spies beyond the people, Rayet's father and his friends who were just killed. So maybe that's the case, and their worries are kind of over nothing, and it's just like kind of a plot, a little bit of an annoying plot thing going on there, to keep her identity hidden. Or maybe there is something more to that, I don't know. But either way, the show took an interesting direction I wasn't expecting. I thought the reveal would be to everyone last episode. But yeah. Apparently, even though she was wide open on the bridge, only Inaho and the others saw her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about
that. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, surely his sister would have saw that. I mean, come on.
Like, Inko's view when she was doing the sniping was blocked by a car, so yeah, I could buy that. But is the term red herring when they say something but it's not really true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that could be something about the spy. It's kind of just
it's
a
distraction.
Red herring.
Yeah.
And then Inaho and Rayet talk afterwards about the secret, and Inaho's basically saying, people don't act calm when, things go crazy, and if they were to reveal Asylum's identity, and then
Rayet
just is kind of like, Martians are all the enemy, but she still seems a little, I'm still a little concerned about her, like, what her role in all of this is.
Yeah.
Oh, agree it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering what she is, yeah.
Like, she doesn't seem right now fully, like, as I think I mentioned last week or so, she doesn't seem fully like she's anti-Martian, even though she says it here.
That's possible. She seemed pretty anti-Martian to me. Hmm. But, that could just be appearances. Yeah. I don't know. I do think that Inaho doesn't give people enough credit, and he immediately assumes that they will jump at the chance to kill Asylum if she reveals herself. Right. Which, if you think about that, even like the most distraught or stressed out or not thinking straight person would probably realize that, you know, her supposed death was the start of this whole conflict. If you go ahead and, confirm her death by killing her when she reveals herself, you're not really doing yourself any favors, although at the same time, I guess, her being alive isn't exactly too helpful either, but at least provides some sort of chance for things to be resolved. Whereas if she is now dead, it's like, I mean, okay, so people are, you know, people don't think straight, but when it's, you know, in this kind of stressful, you know, time of war, but still, I think most people are smart enough to realize, hey, the cause of war is not true. Maybe we should be a little more careful about this, you know, instead of just kill her because she's Martian.
Yeah, I look at that, like that side too, but then I look at things like Valverde did the same thing when they found out the main kid that was the cause of all these vampires attacks and everything. They quickly sold him out very fast. Mm-hmm. They didn't give a crap about him because it's like his fault they brought the enemy and everyone got killed because of you. And they didn't really give him the benefit of the doubt at all. They just threw him under the bus.
Yeah, that was such a misunderstanding.
Right. It's like they found out she's really the princess. Like they could, you know, turn on her easily and, you know, get revenge. Oh, it's your fault, you know.
But, yeah. But it's also
they could use a ransom too, right? Yeah, that's true. But I'm just using that example that, you know, if you find someone who's, I mean, they could do an Attack on Titan. You know, people find out certain people are Titans, they're gonna be very angry because they killed so many people. And it's like, you know, I don't think they're gonna be exactly friendly towards them.
That's a very fair point.
Yeah,
kind of like what's going on in Falling Skies right now.
Yeah.
Now one person that shouldn't find out about this is Calm, because he's the one during the episode that shows the most hatred toward the Martians. Just like, you know, getting revenge for Okajo, and it kind of makes you wonder like when his time is to come.
I thought it was this week because he's like so many flags going off with him. I'm like, yeah, he's marking himself for death later easily.
Yeah, he's gonna charge in eventually at some point, and it's not gonna end well.
There's the other girl that he's kind of close with. Like, I could see that being a thing where he runs in to save her and he gets killed.
Oh no! Even without Butcher involved, the show is set up.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna happen. I mean, most shows I've experienced are mostly the females sort of survive, and you know, if they have love interest or whatever.
Well,
they're getting killed.
That's only true if it's not Gundam. It's Gundam, it's reversed.
Yeah, I mean,
females right out the door immediately.
Yep.
Now we go on to Slane, who reports to Kruteo about the death of the princess, the quote-unquote death of the princess, because this guy's just straight-up lying to Kruteo here, asking to avenge Asylum, gets hit with a stick in two different scenes. But apparently he's gotten through a little bit to Kruteo, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see what exactly Slane wants to do here.
Like, Slane's got an M-side, he's like, please hit me again, please.
I'm hoping he takes whatever he takes down to Earth and then defects there.
Turns on him?
Or maybe not defect, but grab the princess and then go straight back to Mars somehow. I don't know if he can travel directly back to Mars. It is a long ways away. I'm not sure what kind of AI technology they have. Oh, they do have the portal, that's right, on the moon. I don't know if it's still functional, I forget.
Or what if he goes lone wolf and starts looking for other knights to kill that he believes were involved?
And he's like, gonna pick out all the traitors?
It's like, oh, they died. The humans killed them.
I can see
them.
That. I do want to say, though, I found these two scenes, it wasn't back-to-back, but it was basically like, well, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Try again.
And it works. I found that really weird because he delivered almost the exact same line, like, twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he
and
did.
For some reason, Crotea was like...
It seemed like after he got hit the second time, he was a little bit more assertive in his message. And
I think it's more like, he was just like, if I keep saying no, he's going to keep bothering me. Or just say yes. Get it out of my hair.
I don't know. It just felt, that part felt really weird to me that, like, I thought, like, whoa, wait a second, is my video file a little weird? Am I watching this part again somehow? And I was like, oh, no, it's actually him repeating the same thing.
Should have brought some, like, tea and some cake to him. Like, please, Crotea-sama, let me go down there. Better him up a little bit. Get him something.
All right, now the mech that everybody's battling up against this week is Vlad and his Argyre, if I'm pronouncing that right. It's a beam saber that can block bullets so long as he hits them properly.
If you sit still.
Yeah, just basically, you know, whizzing around and stuff. But as Inaho finds out in the battle, certain ammo you can get past him if he doesn't block him precisely enough, though, you know, it doesn't really do that much damage to his armor.
Mm-hmm.
But just a little cool moment there, more Martian knights being badass and taking advantage of the adult soldiers in the sucky KG-7s.
Yeah, that seems kind of weird. Like, you guys see these, you know, you obviously see how overpowered he is. Like, why the hell would you stand there? Get the hell out of there. Run away. Nope, we're just going to stand here and take it.
Like, yeah, but like they just kind of like stood in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just like kept firing. It's just like, come on, guys.
Well, surely one will get through.
Aren't you trained? Don't you have any better things than just standing in the line and hoping that some of your bullets get through to him? Although that is pretty ridiculous that he was able to block all the bullets of his sword. Because that's just ridiculous. But you know, Martian technology, so I guess.
With that in the anime, I mean, usually if you have a samurai versus someone using a gun, the samurai always is going to cut the bullets in half in every anime I've seen.
Can you imagine how fast his robot has to be moving to be able to get the saber places to block the bullets? I mean, that's insane.
For me, I think it's like, it's probably putting off so much heat that when the bullet even gets near it, just, you know, disintegrates the bullet.
That's true. Maybe he doesn't have to hit it directly. It could just be like more of like a wide area thing going on, even though it's visually just a beam.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's when Inaho has a plan for Inko and Kom to help him with in battle as they form a pincer attack. And then he points. They don't show it on camera, but he points up to the sky somewhere to Inko. Go up there. And she's like, what? And then she rams a crate right into him, and that pushes him, like, a long way, messes up his monitor. And then that's when Mizuzaki arrives with the Wadatsumi providing some cover so that they can withdraw safely.
Yeah, I was like, crane, interesting. Smack him. Like, for me, it's kind of like, it's a little ridiculous, but I'm like, I give him credit for at least showing that the humans can be resourceful. But it's like, I guess. I don't know how you figured out the monitors were in the head unit of the robot, but that's good, I guess.
I mean, he pretty much just demonstrated what soldiers earlier should have been doing, which was provide a distraction and hit him from another angle.
Yeah, I thought it was funny because he even says that before he gets attacked, it's like, ooh, a pincer attack. I'm like, you knew it was coming. Like, what the hell?
But well, he knew the pincer attack was coming, but he didn't expect like a three-pronged pincer thing going on.
Yeah, he's like, Earth technology is more powerful. Like, it's just a crane, dude.
But yeah, that was really cool, and I liked the sound effect, like, boom!
When it it sounds like something you'd hear in, like, Smash Brothers or something. I'm like, it just sounds like metal hitting metal.
Add, like, maybe the Mario coin sound. Ding!
Probably, yeah.
That'd be funny.
Alright, so let's talk about some extra stuff here from this episode. Seems like everybody has some kind of lie, and I say lie specifically because in the ending song that was used this week, the word liar is in there in like the chorus part. Salem, can we really believe that she's the actual princess and not just some other double?
I think she's
a double.
I think even Ura Butcher is not going to make this that complicated. I mean, come on. He's got to cut us some slack.
He's going to be like, wait, she's related to Inaho.
Oh gosh.
No. She's a sister. Yeah. No.
There's clearly something that's being left out here, because as she talks, that's when Edel Richo interrupts twice.
Yeah. It's weird.
Sort of makes me suspicious of, like, what is she... There's something that she probably would have spilled, but I don't know with why Edel Richo would stop her there.
Yeah, it would seem kind of weird. Maybe she's just like was sent to like watch her, but make sure she doesn't say too much to the humans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like there are things she can reveal. It's like, don't reveal everything. You're sworn to secrecy. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Inaho, who's withholding what he knows about the princess's identity. And then we have Slane, who is bold-faced lying to Kruteo about avenging the princess.
Yeah, it's like, that other guy totally died. I don't know how that happened. I mean, so you should have seen it. I mean, what?
And then we got a couple new characters this week. I believe one of them was named Mitsuribi, and another was Yutaro, who had a funny line in this episode, is Nino and Inko were reuniting. Yutaro turns and says, "She's my favorite."
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
And then Yuki, who was who had her arm injured for the past couple episodes, she got an exoskeleton, so she was sort of flexing around and doing some work and stuff and using it to mash the wrench down while they were making repairs on the ship.
That repair scene was kind of funny for me. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a giant mech attack and these boobs one like next to them. That scene there is like, damn.
It's like, killed. It's one of those weird things that I just added in to create some more tension.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, it didn't really serve any purpose. And then her exoskeleton arm was kind of introduced solely to resolve the tension.
Right.
Smacking on the wrench. It's like, okay, well, all right, I'll let you do this. I'll know as well.
set up for another setup, basically.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then what I thought was a funny scene in this episode was Mizuzaki coming in and Tarzana saying, "Do you know why you can't get a date?"
Yeah, I was like, can't that wait for later? People are dying.
Actually, you have to have a date before you can arrive fashionably late. And then in the ending scene, great song, of course. Not much going on animation-wise, but there is something of note. There are some silhouettes. I have this in one of the images. Inaho has a couple birds in his image, and Slane had three frames where there were silhouettes that kind of looked like the princess. One of them, I thought, kind of looked like Edel Richo's hairstyle, and then there's a third that I'm unsure of.
Right, yeah. The bird thing I didn't see. I'd look at that.
I might have skipped the ending or something, because I do not remember any of this. But,
Slane's after El Rotaru or whatever. He likes lollies, so he's like, "I'm gonna save her. Princesses are fine. That's okay. You can go." The third woman, I don't know who that would be. Maybe probably like his mom or something. I don't know, something like that. Pick.
Dude, how hilarious would it be if he showed up and he's like, "I'm here to save you," and then the princess is like, "Oh, he's thank you," and then he grabs another person and just like, "See ya, bitches. I'm out of here."
Grabs the lolly and just jumps out like, "See ya."
And then Zero became a comedy show.
Right, with those two going on like wacky adventures together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Zvezda all over it again.
Oh, gosh.
Kate, Eldorado wants to take over the world.
Well, hopefully we can get a better ending than that show had.
Mm-hmm.
it went downhill.
Yep.
All right, so episode 4, what'd you guys think?
I thought it was okay. Like I said, the great... seeing these kids, doing something, but I always roll my eyes when mech shows do this, where the teenagers are smarter than the military people that have had years of experience,
mm-hmm.
and that always makes me roll my eyes.
kids are our future.
Right, they're the next generation.
And our only hope in battle against Martians, apparently.
Right, and, I mean, that was cool and all, you know, fine. The mech of the week was great. I like the little beam saber. And I'm curious about everyone finding out if the princess is really on the ship. It's for me, it's like almost like a Gundam moment. We had the ship, so it's like, oh, this must be like the Archangel of this series. The ship that never gets defeated, you know. So I'm waiting to see if that really happens or not for the Earth forces.
Yeah, see, yeah, I agree. Watching this episode was almost like watching, I don't know, Scooby-Doo or something. I was just waiting for Vlad, like, as he was leaving, to yell something like, oh, I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you meddling kids.
You meddling earthlings. God.
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, and it really fits the situation perfectly. So yeah, I mean, this episode was his first one without Amuro Butcher, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely okay. It had some more kind of like, okay moments. Mm-hmm. Like the engine being hit, and then, you know, Yuki's using her mechanized arm to fix it. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, that's fine. And then yeah, the mech this time was pretty interesting too. Again, I find its ability to block all the bullets kind of ridiculous. But then again, mm-hmm. you know, it's fine. We'll accept it as alien technology, even though that shouldn't justify the robot moving ridiculously fast, like just
right.
to block a bullet. I mean, assuming of course the guns that the Earth forces have don't just fire in like a straight line, like every single bullet hit lands mm-hmm. in the same spot, which first of all would be infeasible, and second of all would be pretty stupid if they were able to accomplish it. That would mean that he would have to move his arms crazily, you know, to block the bullets. But again, that's alien technology. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this episode was okay.
Yeah. Well, the last thing I mentioned is that the robot design looked kind of weird. I forgot. Like the top it's like very top heavy. The legs mm-hmm. are very skinny. I was like, what the hell? Looks
yeah,
goofy.
I've been wondering that about the mechs as uh-huh. we get through this series. Like, are they all going to be this bulky looking at the
right.
top? It's kind of weird. As far as the thing about Urobocher, this, you know, being the first episode mm-hmm. without him, I think for people that maybe have some kind of concern is that, you know, even if you do have a concern, maybe you should give it a little bit of time to see how things kind of develop
right.
post-Gen before an opinion can really be formed in this episode. Maybe won't do that much to help determine anything just because it's an episode where the kids get from point A to point B.
Right, I mean, for me, it's like, even if without him doing anything with it, they still have the death count still going. I mean, there are people still dying,
yeah.
But it's background people. But still, I mean, they're still keeping the pressure on the Earthlings. It's not mm-hmm. like, oh, someone else took over, now it's a show that the genre shifted to something else now. It's like you said, give it some more time.
We haven't
let's just be honest here. I mean, if you were not aware of mm-hmm. or a Butcher's name, and the fact that he was only involved with their first three episodes,
right.
I bet you would not even realize there was any sort of, I guess, quote-unquote, important change like that
mm-hmm.
Coming into this fourth episode.
I agree.
This was, I mean, if you didn't know that, it would be a seamless transition. It was just as consistent as the previous episodes. Getting a little kind of silly with some things, but that's okay. It's a little science fiction show, and it can mm-hmm. take some liberties with that.
Yeah, alternate reality. Inaho, there's no plot armor going on mm-hmm. with him right now.
Yeah, right now.
I feel like a lot of people have kind of said that recently, and it's not necessarily plot armor. It's just some ingenuity mm-hmm. on his part to kind of, you know, find clever ways to, you know, not eliminate the enemy in full, but in this case, just kind of knock him off to the side so that they can withdraw safely. So I like that. And I like the almost sort of clever approach that he has to battle. Unlike the others who kind of, it just kind of gets put on their lap all of a sudden, and then that's why those guys died at the start.
I don't know if I'd call it clever so much as just he seems to be the only one with common sense, which again, that's pretty standard fare for shows like this. I mean, anyone, maybe I'm just speaking with the knowledge now, just looking back, you know, 2020 hindsight or something, but I feel like anyone could have figured out that since Vlad's defense or offense depends on his beam saber, all you have to do is hit him from an angle from which his beam saber is not going to be able to counter, which, you know, it seems like common sense to me, so create a diversion, hit him from the other side. Maybe it takes, you know, two diversions, like we're going diversionception here, but that's pretty, I think that's pretty standard. That's nothing too special.
Like my opinion should have been that when he threw the sword at the other ship, they should have grabbed his weapon and ran off. Honestly. It's like, without his weapon, he's pretty much, he hasn't really shown he has any other weapon, so it's like, take, cut his arm off, you know, destroy the robot's arm, whatever, take the weapon from his hand, you win.
Yeah.
You know? And then you get the weapon, and now you got a sword, so there you go.
Alright, and that has been our mini-talk for episode 4. Thank you for listening. For Fosh and Smiley, I'm Jero. We'll see you next week.